Need to turn that on. I turned it off while the singing was going on. It is good to be here and to see some old friends. Well, I shouldn't say that, to see some friends. But we are a little older. I'm surprised that you guys don't look any different than 12 years ago. I don't know what happened to me, but it's good to see you and it's good to be here. And Jim and I have been working on this for some time. And I know the elders will be glad to scratch this off their agenda list of me coming, but I've been looking forward to coming here. I love the area you guys are in. It's just so beautiful here, and I love what I see when I look out, and all the demographics are represented here, young families, and then all the demographics moving up. That's wonderful. So many places where I go to present World English Institute, kind of unfortunately, but many places I go, the majority of the congregation have white hair, and it concerns me a little bit. So it's an encouragement to see the young people and the young families here this morning and to be speaking to you about WEI. Since this is the sermon time, I've prepared a little bit of a mini sermon before we get into World English Institute and can tell you a little bit about it. If you do, I want to say this before we start. If you do have one of these little slips here, that is a special URL that's only good for 5 days. And it's a URL at the bottom that you can enter to become a teacher. You will automatically have an account at Fulshear today, and that will last for about 5 days. And then if you register as a teacher, you have to go through the normal screening process, which takes a couple of days. We have to screen our teachers. We can't accept anybody who gets online and registers at WEI, as you might understand. So you've got a special, at the end of the day, if you decide you might want to take a look at it, give it a try. That's a special URL right there to do that. I wanted to talk to you this morning a little bit about, before we get into WEI, about just the fact that we are a people who have been sent. S-E-N-T, we have been sent. And when you consider that, the first question you might ask is, where is God going to send me? Or what does God have in store for me? Why am I here right now? You think about all the contacts and relationships that you have in your life on a daily basis that come and go. Many of them are acquaintances, some of them become friends, and some of them become good friends. And you have all of these contacts right here in Katy, Fulshear. And you might ask yourself, what does God want me to do with these opportunities that I have? And you know, sometimes I think we just wish that God would miraculously reveal our calling so we could just get on with doing His will. But that just doesn't exist today. And it even rarely happened in the Bible. One instance that I think about is Isaiah in chapter 6, where Isaiah was called by the Lord. He was in the temple, and the amazing things, the curtains were drawn back. And as Isaiah was in the temple, the temple started rumbling, and smoke filled the temple. And Isaiah realized that he was in the presence of the Lord. And you know that passage, because Isaiah, in realizing that, he's humbled to the point of saying, "Woe is me. I live among a people of unclean lips, and I have unclean lips." And so he has that incredible humility. And then a seraph flies and goes to the altar and with tongs takes a live coal in its hand and brings it back and touches Isaiah's lip with the live coal and says, "Your guilt has been taken away and your sins are atoned for." I prefer baptism. And I'm glad that came along a few hundred years later. But Isaiah, in the presence of the Lord, and his sins had been taken away. And he says, and the Lord says to him, "Who will I send? Who will go for us?" And Isaiah says, "I am here, Lord. Send me." And so then God gives him his commission. And he's to go to the people and preach to the people. And then God tells him, and Isaiah asks, "How long shall I do this?" And God tells him that you will do this until the land is ruined, until the cities are ruined, until the fields are ruined. So all of those years that Isaiah preached to the people, you have to believe, it's not recorded in the Bible, but you have to believe that he must have thought, why, what am I doing? What is the purpose of this? It's doing no good. He may have had the same thoughts that we have. And you see this with many characters in the Bible. You see this with Joseph, who it wasn't until the end of his life. The Lord was with him through all of his trials, but at the end of his life, he realized that the Lord was working through him, as he told his brothers in Genesis chapter 50, that the Lord was working through him so that many people could be saved. And so the Lord is working in our lives. You see that with many characters in the Bible. Joseph, Esther. Think about Esther when she was called for just a time of this in the royal palace, to be able to intercede for the Jewish people and save the Jewish people. I even thought about the character, one of my favorite little letters in the New Testament, Philemon, and the character Onesimus, and how all of that transpired in his life, and God was working in that way, and with him. So we are called. And so, perhaps you have been sent here by God to do exactly what you're doing. Perhaps you have been sent here to Katy to do exactly what you are doing. God can use us in whatever situation we're in. And I want to encourage you in this reality. Even though sometimes we may question our purpose and our position in life as it exists today in the kingdom, and even though it may appear as if we're just trudging along, going about our daily lives and our daily routines, if we're faithful, we can be sure that God is doing amazing things with our lives and for his kingdom. And it might be that you're here today for a reason that God is going to use you in your walk and your service to him. Have you ever thought that God sent you here to this place and at this time to be a light in his kingdom at this very time? We are all sent, and you may be here for a purpose. And if you are here and you're living and you're shining the light of the kingdom and the light of Christ in your life, then I do believe that purpose is fulfilled. So with that thought in mind, let's take a look at the Great Commissions. It's the last thing that Jesus told his disciples before he departed from them. And normally the last thing that you say before you depart from somebody for a long period of time is very important. And so in Matthew chapter 28, many of you are very familiar with, Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, he said, "Therefore go into the whole world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned." So this is our charge, and this is our commission that we are to be about, and our mission. And you know, we really have no options. We have to do this. And so you might ask yourself sometimes, how well am I doing in this regard? How well am I doing in the commission to go and to share the word of God with as many people as you can, the Great Commission? And I want us to take a look at one of my favorite parables in the New Testament that I believe is related to this. And it is the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 3. Jesus tells his disciples, just before he sends them out, it's very appropriate, he tells his disciples this parable. And he said, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, it grew and produced a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." The disciples didn't quite understand that, and so Jesus went on to explain what the parable meant. And this is somewhat unique. Most of the parables that Jesus tells, he doesn't explain exactly what they mean, but he did in this instance. Down in verse 14, he said, "The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown." Okay, in all four of these examples, what has to happen for there to be a result? Something has to happen for there to be a result. And you might want to ask yourself, where do we tend to get hung up in this process of sowing the seed? What has to happen is the seed has to make contact with the soil. Seeds will not germinate sitting in a dark place or sitting in our hand. They have to make contact with the soil. And so we've got the saving word of God, but I think sometimes perhaps we hold on to it just a little too long. You know, I'm always looking for receptive soil when I go about doing the things that I do. I'm always looking for that. Even when I go to work, I stop at a little convenience store and I get something to drink, maybe a cup of coffee, and I've gotten to know the cashiers and the ladies and the young men who work there, and I'll have short chats with them, but I'm always thinking in my mind, I wonder if that soil is receptive. And unfortunately, I get frustrated because sometimes I think I hold on to the seed too long. And I don't introduce the possibility of talking to these people that I come in contact with on a deeper level. We've got the seed. You want to tell the people the good news of the kingdom, but they're not exactly flocking around us all the time to hear that. We have the most powerful, life-saving, loving, healing message ever known to mankind, and sometimes I think we struggle to share that. I don't know if you do, but I can tell you I do. In fact, I'm much better, I think, at sowing seed when I'm not in my own culture, in my own country, and in my own culture, and with the people that speak the same language as I do. It seems that sometimes I'm better at doing that when I'm overseas in a different culture. And I don't know, you may have that same experience, but it's something that I'm working on. But I want to caution you just a little bit in this. If you're feeling like that you're not doing your part with the Great Commission and that you've been ineffective in this regard, don't sell yourself short. We all are sowing seeds, and maybe sometimes we're doing that in a way that is not apparent and that is not dramatically visible. We're all sowing seeds. If you think about Timothy in the Bible, Timothy was good soil, and the seed was sown by the Apostle Paul. Why was Timothy good soil? All through the Bible, when you read about Timothy, many positive things are said about him. There's not, in fact, I couldn't find a negative thing said about Timothy in the Bible. And so why was he good soil? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded lives in you now also." Timothy was good soil because it had been prepared by his grandmother and by his mother. And so if you're a parent or you're a grandparent and you are you are living your life with your children. You're sowing precious seed every single day with your children. If you're living and you're teaching them and you're raising them in the love and admonition and discipline of the Lord. And so you are sowing seed. There's an old farmer saying that I like very much that says you can count the number of seeds in an apple, but you can't count the number of apples in a seed. And that is so true. All it takes is one seed landing on good soil to produce a crop 30, 60, or 100 times what was sown. So why was it? Why do you think that Jesus had large crowds always following him? He always seemed to have crowds following him. He always had an audience that he took advantage of to share the good news of the kingdom that was coming soon. He sowed good news of the kingdom everywhere he went. Why did Jesus have large crowds following him? In Matthew, just before the Sermon on the Mount, it says that Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 through 25, it says, Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Jesus had something they needed. He was healing them physically, and he was healing them spiritually. And he was feeding them both physical bread, and he was feeding them spiritual bread. They were mostly coming for the physical bread and the healing, but he used that as an opportunity to share with them something much more important that had eternal consequences. There were times that even Jesus was overwhelmed with the crowds that were following him. And that was the scripture we read that was just read this morning in Matthew chapter 9. Jesus went through all the nations and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. He said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." And so what I'm going to present to you this morning is one simple way that we can be releasing the seed that is in our hands to scores of lost souls all over the world, in every single country of the world. And we can be the harvesters that the Lord of harvest is sending into the field. Because like Jesus, we have something physical that they all desperately want, which presents us an opportunity to share with them something eternal that they all desperately need. Everyone sitting in this room today has this special gift that people all over the world want. And it's not casting out demons. It's not doing any miraculous gifts, but we all have it. And that gift is that we all speak the English language with a high degree of fluency. We all have that. People all over the world are wanting to either learn the English language or improve on the English that they've already learned. In fact, it's estimated that 1 billion people want to learn the English language. And so that's what we all have. And that draws crowds. The president and author of this material, Brother Dr. Richard Ady, he was a missionary in Taiwan back in the 60s. And he went there with a PhD in Bible, but he also had a degree in English. And so when he went there for the first many months while he was there, he found it very difficult to set up Bible studies with the people that he came in contact with. So he came up with the idea, because several people he ran into wanted to learn English, and they liked to talk to him in English because that helped them improve their English. And so he came up with the idea to teach an English class and to combine the Bible as a reading assignment illustration of the grammar that he was teaching to his students. And this is what he said when he started advertising that. He said crowds of people, of the people of Taiwan, started following him. And they wanted to talk to him. And they wanted to join his classes. So before, when he had a very hard time even setting up a one-to-one Bible study, now all of a sudden he had crowds of people. And so he started teaching this curriculum in Taiwan. And at first, the first classes were 10 to 20. And he was amazed at this. But before long, he had to get an auditorium at the university because the classes were so large. And so he was able to teach them the Bible and English at the same time. And what he found out is something that we've known for many years now. When he started teaching this, after he got well into the course and well into the Bible, he realized that the students told him this, that they weren't so much interested in English anymore. They were more interested in what he was sharing with them about the Bible. Because this was the message that they knew was much more important than English. And we have found that to be true as well. And that's what WEI is all about. English is today's international language. It's a combination, what we have is a combination English grammar and Bible course. And the intermediate course, the basic course, it starts in Genesis, it starts with creation, and it goes all the way through the plan of salvation. Brock, you may have to advance the slides for me. This doesn't seem to be working. Okay, go ahead. Okay, so what I was just mentioning before, 1 billion people want it, which is the English language, but all 7 billion people need it, which is the Bible. So that's the formula of World English Institute. It's the English language plus the Bible equals World English Institute. That's what we do. We desperately need teachers. We have more people, just like Dr. Dick Ady, who wrote the course, we have more people that register than we have teachers to teach the Bible. In fact, we average about 200 students a day who register on our website and are waiting to be claimed by a teacher. Next slide. So what I just mentioned before, the Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. What we like to say to everybody is first, go home, turn on your internet device, get in your most comfortable chair, and then you can teach students from every country in the world. We have to cut our advertising short. Every month, we barely advertise because we will be so overwhelmed with students that we won't be able to handle it with the number of teachers that we have. So we have more students than we have teachers. Over 10,000 student registrations per month. And from that 10,000 who register, we're starting over 4,500 Bible studies every single month. And there are typically, I think this morning, there were about 150 students from about 46 different countries waiting to be claimed by a teacher. You don't have to be an English teacher to teach this. The computer does all of the grading for the English. On the reading assignment Bible side of it, your students will have three thought questions that they will write out. And as a teacher, you look at those questions that they write out. You kind of correct a little bit of their grammar. And then you communicate with them. You message with them back and forth on the questions that they are answering. And in that way, their written English is improving. And at the same time, you're engaging in conversation with them about the Bible and about spiritual matters. So you can see here how we have grown over the years. In 2007, when we launched the website, we started 4,200 Bible studies with about 64 teachers, and we were so excited. We didn't even realize how this was going to grow. To last year, we started over 400,000 Bible studies. with 48,504 students. And we have right now about 730 active Bible teachers. If we could double that number of teachers, we could easily double the number of students and the Bible studies that we can study with them. So teaching on the internet is effective, and it's more meaningful than you might think it to be. You can build a very close and personal relationship with your students and change their lives with the saving gospel message. I want to share just a couple of examples of how this works in the small amount of time that we have left. But this was my personal Mongolian internet student named Tul Bayatara. We had a reception in Mongolia, a WEI reception, because we had thousands of students there. And we were looking for a way that we could make personal contact with those students. So a team of teachers were recruited. We went over, had a reception. Several hundred students showed up at the reception, and then we invited them to study the Bible with the teachers that we had there, and the teachers filled up their schedule. This first trip that I went, I had this student, and I messaged her before I went and said, I'm coming. And I was amazed that she was waiting for me at the airport. And so this is Julie. We met, and we studied the Bible together, and then I had to leave. So she remained and studied with one of the teachers who came. And when I got back to the States, I received this message from her on the website. She said, I am here in a coffee shop reading your email. It's brought me tears I just cannot hold. It's happy tears. I have a feeling that I'm not alone. I have so to share with you. I believe in God and Jesus. I got baptized on Tuesday by my teacher here in Mongolia and baptized me. I start to having a relationship with Jesus, and I'm having very many good changes and differences, and also challenges too. But I know He is alive and live with us. If I pay attention to Him in faith, He will lead me to heaven with no worries. I will send you message and WI lesson soon. Best regards, Julie. There is nothing more exciting that you can get as a teacher than a message like this. And our teachers are getting these every day. Our offices are flooded with stories just like this. And it's just amazing. And so this is Julie, and she was baptized by Brother Gary Aragon, who's a preacher in Colorado that was a part of the team that stayed after I left. And those are photos of her being baptized on that very first trip, which was back in 2015. Okay, I want to tell you another one more. This was a teacher named Jim Wagner, who was an elder at our church, and he claimed over 2,000 students, and he had great success with many of these students. But he decided he was going to take a break. And so he was going to take a break. He had all of those students, but he saw on the student board, he saw a student from Uganda. He saw several. And he had previously had good experiences with students from Uganda. So he took these students from Uganda. One of those students happened to be named Joseph. And Joseph is standing there on the right. Happened to be named Joseph. And Joseph loved the Bible lesson so much that he started inviting friends in the farming village in the community where he lived. He started inviting them to his house and reading the Bible lessons to them. They loved it so much that they continued to do this for quite some time. And so he had 20 people who were studying the Bible. And after some time, he wrote Jim and said, we have about 20 people here who want to be baptized. How do I do that? And so one of the things that we do when you have a student who wants to become a member of God's kingdom and wants to become a Christian, we have contacts all over the world. We got in touch with one of our World Bible School contacts in Uganda, and eventually the man on the left named Mubiru made his way to that village, and he talked to Joseph, and he talked to the entire group that met there, had a study with them, and then on that day, 23 people were baptized into Christ. And they sent us the photos of this. You can just click through some of those photos, Brock, quickly. I just wanted to share that with you. That's so encouraging. And so they actually continued to meet in Joseph's home But they grew so much. This is the group, a part of the group that was baptized that day. They grew so big that they could no longer meet in Joseph's home, and he wrote his teacher and said, "What am I to do now?" And the teacher said, "Well, you go meet under a tree." So they decided, they got together, and they built a church house. They gathered their funds and built a shelter, and now the church meets there every Sunday, and some of our Church of Christ contacts in Uganda go in to help out with that service, and they're meeting every Sunday there. Okay, Brock. This is just some photos of the church that's meeting there. Okay, we had another teacher named Marlene Baker who just recently, this was just a few months ago, she wrote this. She said, "I have a student in the nation of Burundi, Africa, the state of Chitoki, the city of Buganda. He has been a very interested and faithful student. He is asking to be baptized in secret, so I assume he is in a place where Christianity is outlawed. He also wants to know how he can worship as Jesus wants him to. I will send you his name if you can locate anyone in his area that can teach him further." And so we got another contact there who met with this with Venant, and they studied together, and go ahead, Brock. And then Akimbi takes his Venant takes his confession, and he's baptized into Christ that day. Okay, go ahead. And they go on their way rejoicing. We have these stories coming in to our offices on a weekly basis. It's things like this. I just wanted to share a couple of these stories with you. You can be an effective seed sower in the comfort of your own home. And it's very simple. It's the most unintimidating way that you can study the Bible with somebody. So you can share your faith in the Word of God with students who are ready and willing to receive the instruction. You can claim as many students as you want. You will see when you go to the student board, every student has all of the particulars listed, their profile, whether they're male or female, their age, their occupation, and what religion they are. And in fact, about 30% of our students are Muslim. So here's the thing, though, that if you're thinking that you might want to do this, it's very simple. One of the things you need to remember is that we are sowing seed, and some of the seed doesn't land on good soil. And we have found out that you have to claim about 10 students to get 2 or 3 that are actually going to stay with the course. And so if you do this and you do claim students, if they stop sending in the lessons, don't be discouraged. Just keep sowing seed and keep claiming more students, because you will eventually end up with 3 to 4 to 5 really good students. It takes about 10 minutes to process a student. And so it's very simple to do. We're sowing seed. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. Romans 10. What we like to say in WEI is, how beautiful are the fingertips of those who bring the good news. Because it's that easy. Come on. Okay, I want to end with this. This is just a precious story that I want to end with. We have, in India, we have 52 WEI schools that go year-round. And all of these schools are located at Churches of Christ in southern India and in central India. And so these students come and are taught at these schools. I went to India to facilitate a couple of graduation ceremonies. It was a wonderful experience. I've been 3 times, so this is called WEI India. When I went there, some of the students, after they graduated and had finished the course, the survey of the Bible, they realized that they wanted to become a Christian. And so I had my little phone, and I took a couple of videos of that. And that's what you'll see here. It's a very quick little video, only about 2 minutes. But what you'll see at the end was something incredible happened. We were in this village, and it was the end of a WEI school. We had the graduation ceremony, and one of the students decided they wanted to be baptized. Well, there was an old man who was also there, who went up and talked to the preacher at this church in this village, and they had a pretty long discussion. And the preacher came out and said, "This gentleman this older man, he's very old, has been walking his granddaughter to the classes every single day. And on the way home, they had about a 30-minute walk. And on the way home, he would ask his granddaughter, "What did you learn today?" And so the granddaughter was sharing with him every single day what she learned from the Bible, from creation through the plan of salvation. And this old gentleman was a Muslim his entire life. And he's got to be in his 80s or 90s. Nobody knew exactly his age. I don't think he knew his exact age. But anyway, he told the preacher that he wanted to renounce his Muslim religion and become a Christian. And I just happened to be there that day and took this video. And so you'll see a couple of baptisms, but the last one you'll see is this old man who becomes a Christian and a member of God's kingdom. There's a cappella music that goes with this, but we weren't able to download it. That's the same trough where they draw their drinking water as well. Here's the brother I was talking about. Very frail. Actually, at one point I thought they were going to drop him. Isn't that wonderful? It's just amazing. I have seen this video 1,000 times, and every time I see it, I get chill bumps. He was taught the gospel by his granddaughter, who was just sharing with him the WI Bible lessons that she studied every single day. So this is this little piece of paper you have there. It's a one-time URL. I think after lunch today, those of you who are interested, I'm going to just show very, very briefly. I know that these mornings can get very long, but I want to just briefly show you the website so you can take a look at it. I'll show you some special links and just so that you can, that you will be able to begin and start the process of teaching. There are a couple of key links I wanted to show you. And so I guess we'll be meeting back here after lunch sometime today or somewhere else. I'm not sure where that will be. Anyway, that's the presentation. If you're interested in doing that, please talk to me. If there's anybody here this morning that needs to respond, if you have some prayer requests that you would like the elders here and the whole community of believers here to pray with you and for you, we can do that. If you have any other needs, you can make those needs known and make that request while now we stand and sing. That's it.